The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, you know, it's like,
and we are back. Welcome back to the LA Hispanic Republican Club radio program. We are in our second hour of extremely interesting topics tonight. Thank you, by the way, to our callers sitting there. We'll take your questions in just a minute. It's Jennifer Kennedy. Usually I'm doing my legal segment later in the show, but tonight I get to sit in for our hosts, David Hernandez and Jeffy Girgenti. And tonight in studio, we've got Anthony Cabasa, independent journalist. We've got Michael McMahon, our former LAPD officer and assembly member candidate. And, of course, Don Monroe, our generous sponsor of our program. And we are having such great conversation on really interesting issues, important issues that are facing our nation and the state. And now before the break, we were talking about what are the issues that drive people? What are the issues that are driving conservatives and Republicans? And what do we need to tell people who don't know these issues, really, people who aren't paying attention or maybe have been in the Democrat Party all this time and thinking that's their party with their values, and we need to reach them and say, guess what, they're not. And one of the problems, I think, in California in particular, and that parents in particular need to know about, are the bills coming out of Sacramento that are directly compromising parental rights. And we have so many of them, and they're also dovetailing with the LGBT agenda, which is infecting our schools. And I think the more parents out there who know, and the more in our Hispanic community in particular, that know these bills of the things that are happening in our schools, we need a parent revolt.
Yes.
And one of the bills I wanted to talk about tonight is SB 407. And that's a bill, and you know what? If it says wiener, you know it's bad. So this is a Scott Wiener bill. You know,
that's
that old,
a soundbite.
Remember that old
There's a lot of them. We've had a lot of wieners.
That commercial that was, you know, if the name is Smuckers, it's got to be good. Well, if the name is Wiener, that bill's got to be bad. Mm-hmm. So you just know it. SB 407 is a bill that basically is going to prevent foster kids from being placed with families unless those families agree to embrace basically the trans agenda, the LGBT agenda, unless they kind of swear allegiance to this notion of trans as they got to support it and affirm it. And of course, what's this going to do? This is going to eliminate foster families for kids in need, just like we saw years ago when adoption services were told you have to place with same-sex couples even if you don't want to. Otherwise, we're going to hit you. And that shut down a lot of faith-based adoption organizations when they said, look, that we're Catholic Charities. We're not going to place children in a same-sex family. Mm-hmm. That was their choice as a nonprofit. And they were told, sorry, can't do it. You got to go out of business or you have to embrace the agenda. And they didn't want to. And what did that do? It just disadvantaged children.
Yeah.
It just put a lot of – that's right. So that's what we're looking at with SB 407. Now, what's the status of it? Mike, tell us a little bit more about it because it's passed committee. It just went through, I think, judiciary.
Yeah.
And I just pulled it up on Ledge Info, and it looks like it's re-referred. It's going back to judiciary. So it's moving – through the Senate right now.
Right.
But we need parents to understand what this is doing and what we need to do to, you know, oppose it.
You know, I watched a little bit of the hearing the other day, and Wiener was testifying to that. And I think the only dissenting voice in the entire committee was Rosalicia Ochoa-Bogue, who had a lot of questions about it. But one of the most heartbreaking things was the people standing in opposition to this ridiculous bill. One of the things that broke my heart was watching this elderly gentleman who, he had been a foster parent for decades. And I want to say he had stated he had fostered about 800 children
over the course
of that time. And this exact bill, because he said he was, you know, a faith-based man, and he said that he wouldn't be able to do this any longer. Just think of the torment for children who are in need. People, you know, these kids who are seeking, you know, a warm embrace of someone who loves them for whomever they are, you know, and having to bend the knee to capitulate to something wicked like this. It totally flies in the face of your faith. And more parents need to be aware of this, even if you're not a foster parent. Parents in general, I mean, you know the value of children growing up with either a mom or a dad or a father figure, you know. This is so important for parents to get behind and say no to, because we have a gigantic – and it goes back to our immigration talk from the beginning of the show with all of these children going missing. I mean, if we can't place these kids, where are they going to go? You know?
That's right. And they're just going to get in. They're going to get farther into the juvenile system. Mm-hmm. These are kids that are going to fall through the cracks. And we don't have enough foster families anyway, I would wager.
Well, they also want to close the juvenile facilities. So these kids couldn't even possibly go to juvenile facilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the state laws say that they're trying to close Edelman over here in, you know, East L.A. And where are they going to go? Mm-hmm. Where are they going to go?
You know, I was reading up on the bill, you know, for those of you listening right now, so you have a little bit more context on what's really happening here. It's not so much – so Senator Scott Wiener is an openly homosexual man.
And he's childless, by the way.
He is childless. And he continues to make these awful, awful bills targeting children.
Yes.
And all
but he's
done,
prolific in getting his bills passed.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
I think it's 60 since he's been in office.
And the thing is that, you know, parents are unaware. And all these bills, it's supposed to empower children. And what it really does is it strips more and more rights away from parents, which is, again, why you need to be involved, like, you know, Don said, at least at the very local level. But that bill, so not only do you have to basically pledge. So their whole argument is that, according to studies, et cetera, that about 30% of children – in the foster system identify as LGBTQ+. This is done off of like a 2015 survey.
Yeah,
you know,
I was going to say it's only 10 years old.
Yeah, you know? Right. I mean, no updated numbers. And it's not even so much on the foster. It's just on society as a whole.
Right.
This is how much – so they're applying that, like, well, if it applies for adults, why wouldn't it apply for children? Well, that's such a flawed way of thinking. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised that it's being re-referred, because there's so many questions. Even the studies that are being used to try to make this encompassing of being, you know, inclusive or whatever. But here's the thing. Senator Scott Wiener is demanding that if you are a couple or a person that wants to foster these children, you have to pledge that you will give gender-affirming care to these children. So let's say you just fostered someone. You have to take training to show that you are inclusive to LGBT, that you are accepting of those views, that you will accept that child as they are, etc. You have to take all these programs, right, that the state is going to mandate on you. You have to prove that, hey, you're not a quote-unquote bigot or a religious zealot or whatever. And then on top of that, if in your care a child, you know, 9 years old, 10 years old says, you know what, I think I'm a boy, but I actually want to become a girl – you now have to report to the state, okay, hey, this foster child that is a boy wants to become a girl. They're going to look at you and be like, okay, well, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to start taking them to take hormone blockers and to get sexual reassignment?
Right.
Imagine being a Christian man that's fostered 800-plus children, and now the state is saying if a little boy or a little girl says they want to become the other sex, you will do this or you will no longer be eligible to foster children. I mean, we have gone – and ladies and gentlemen, I've been called a religious fanatic because of this. We've gone from live and let live to we only want to get married to now if you want to bake my cake. Now, if you want to foster children in the state of California, you will prove to us that not only are you inclusive of children, that you will love this child, you will change their sex on demand if that is what it takes for you. And if you do not comply by what we were saying, you will no longer be able to foster children. That is how heinous and disgusting this Senator Scott Wiener is. I mean, there are no words really to describe how disgusting this bill is.
It's true. And another word, as Mike mentioned, is prolific. Okay. What Scott Wiener does is, number one, all of his bills treat children as if every child out there is a trans runaway. Right. And everything has to be brought way down to that type of common denominator. But what he's doing is he's putting these little LGBT requirements in every possible part of our California law. And what you just said about they're going to force foster families to adopt this affirmation model. Let's talk about another bill of his, where I call it a Wiener bill. It's Assemblywoman Lori Wilson, but she's a puppet for his agenda. AB 957. This is another extremely offensive bill that has already passed off the Assembly floor,
right,
with no objection by the Republicans who should be speaking out loud about this. AB 957 wants to put in our family code as a matter of law this statement: that affirmation of child gender transition is always in the best interest of a child. And who is going to be hearing this? Our family law courts, who are deciding custody and visitation issues. And now this law is going to tell the judges, you don't have a fact-finding ability here. You don't have discretion to listen to unique facts and evidence. In fact, you must decide for the parent who affirms this lunacy of child gender transition. The bill does not talk about an age. It doesn't talk about surgical versus social transition. It simply wants to say, as a matter of law, affirmation is it. That's the highway.
I like to think about, like, there's always winners and losers in every scenario, right? I mean, sometimes there's both losers. But, you know, in this situation, what are they really setting up? They're setting up a very large population with, already we have it, psychological issues, emotional issues, but also people who are going to be dependent on pharmaceutical drugs.
Oh, you mean in terms of why are we pushing this agenda?
Why?
That's true.
Why?
The trans agenda.
Who benefits from this?
That is right.
Pharma
does.
Financially
big pharma.
That's
right.
Big pharma. And big pharma's, you know.
And government.
Was
it qui bono? It's the term qui bono.
Yes.
Who benefits?
Who benefits?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Who benefits?
Because what you do when you take a child and trans that child, you are making a medicalized person for the rest of their life. Because
all under this disguise that, you know, we're doing this under love and care.
Love and tolerance.
When
truthfully, little children cannot make this type of decision. When we also see studies that social transition of a child typically leads inexorably to surgical transition.
Sure.
And when you get past, when you have all the important adults in a child's life who are affirming the social transition, it's pretty much guaranteed that that child is going to medically transition.
Right. Because they're easily impressed on.
That is right. They're so suggestible. And we know that this is a contagion. We recognize that for a tiny minority of children, yes, there is gender dysphoria. We look at little tiny boys when they're four who might actually exhibit that clinical behavior.
So this is
teeny, tiny minority.
But even then, studies show that an overwhelming majority of those people that experience gender dysphoria, if left to their own, they eventually outgrow it.
Right.
That's right.
But again, it's like you said, well, who's benefiting? It's A, big pharma, because now you have surgeons and doctors like, wow, we get to prescribe all these new drugs and we get to perform all these surgeries,
and we touched on this with the whole climate change issue, right? It all plays into the same philosophy of, well, you know, why don't we just let them do that? It actually helps solve the issue of too many people on this planet.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying, I mean, there's just too many people just being passive about it because there's all these other – look, you have goals, and when you have conflicted goals, it stresses us out, and sometimes people say, well – if we have another goal where we're just trying to bring down the population, well, let them do what they want to do, and we achieve this this goal. And I think that's – I don't know. I think that it goes into just that deep programming that we're just sometimes not paying close attention to.
But you know I'm going to ask a question, and I want you guys to chime in here. One thing I get a lot, especially from, you know, atheists or libertarians, is they say – who cares?
Yep.
Why do you care? Mm-hmm. Why are you so adamant about this? It's not your child. It's not this. This is not. And I ask myself, you know, well, why do we care as conservatives, as Christians, et cetera? As a Christian, first and foremost, we fight evil everywhere. This agenda is extremely evil mm-hmm. because we see that it's happening to demographics with high suicide rates. A lot of these surgeries are irreversible. These people are coming out as detransitioners saying,
That's
we
right.
made a huge mistake. We are trying to be an advocate for those people, right? But the second thing is when people say, why does it matter, right? 10 years ago, when the Obama administration and the SCOTUS 2014, maybe 11 years ago or less than that, eight years ago, SCOTUS said, okay, same-sex marriage across the land for everybody. And people said, finally, who cares? Like, what does it matter? And then again, here we are today. So you probably have listeners today that 10 years ago when SCOTUS ruled same-sex marriage, like, finally, we can stop this stupid fight. Who cares? Well, I don't care.
The big issue
let
there
adults
was...
be adults. But now right. we have these laws, and this is what you were talking about. Where does this go next? Well, the state of Washington, talking
exactly.
about the trans youth,
that's right.
now the state government can take away mm-hmm. your child. If they decide that they identify as LGBT, they go to school, they tell the school counselor, mm-hmm. my mom is not gender affirming me, my dad is not gender affirming me. Well, guess what? Now they get to go to runaway homes, mm-hmm. state sanctioned runaway homes. And guess what? If they tell the state that they feel threatened at home or that they're not living in a hostile or that they're living in a hostile environment, the mm-hmm. state doesn't even have to tell you where your child is. The only thing they'll tell you is they're with the government. We're here to help.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And,
right?
So for our listeners, that is in Washington State. And that bill, that is a law.
That is not
passed.
Law. That's passed.
It was. Yep. It's called Senate Bill 5599. You will see it in the headlines, the stuff of parents' nightmares,
yes.
which the state will hide runaway kids from supposedly transgender non-supportive parents, right? This is horrific, and we have something very similar percolating right now yeah. in our legislature, and that is AB 665.
Great segue.
We were just about to talk about it. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
And so, again, all of these laws, everyone out there has to realize these are happening in our legislature right now. They're halfway to being passed. AB 665 is the law that has been put through where it's really confusing to talk about because the author wants to pretend it's doing something totally different. What the bottom line of what this is doing is it's going to allow little children 12 years old to consent to what's called residential shelter. Mm-hmm. And that's what Anthony was saying, these homes, group homes. They don't have to necessarily be a runaway
gender
home.
Gender-affirming homes.
But they can be LGBT group homes. They can be anything. Here is the trick about AB 665. They will say, guys, 12-year-olds in California can already consent to mental health, right, and residential shelter. That's true. However.
Not in Hispanic homes, by the way.
But here's,
in Hispanic homes, to the day you move out, you will always be treated like a child and you have no rights.
Here's the thing, though.
You sit at the folding card table.
But here's the problem in California. When you leave that home and your child walks to school, goes to school, is at school, right now the state of the law is a 12-year-old child can consent to counseling without parental notice and without parental consent. Counseling. This means the child can go to the counselor every day at lunch or whatever, talk to that counselor all day long, and you, the parent, will never know. That is the state of the law. Right now, a 12-year-old child can consent to going to a residential shelter, but only if there are some guardrails that are observed. And those guardrails are danger. Number one, is the child a danger to him or herself? Is the child suicidal? Okay. Number two, is there danger in the home? Is the child an alleged victim of abuse or incest? Those are the guardrails that exist right now to allow a 12-year-old to not only consent to the counseling, but to go to a safe house, something that is told to the child. That's what's happening now, okay? Those are guardrails to protect not only the parents' rights, but also, theoretically, to get immediate help for this child who might be in danger. AB 665 wants to take away the guardrails, right? They don't want to have a child actually be in danger before we violate the parents' rights. That's what it's doing. It is so disingenuous. That's mm-hmm. legal for it's so lame and lying. Of the lawmakers, they are making the argument that that somehow we are making children, how we are pushing them, that we have to wait for them to be in distress. We have to wait for them to be in danger before they can consent to residential shelter. No, that's not – we're not waiting for them. We're saying for those kids who are in danger, who face that, we're going to give them the right to consent. But no one else, because we're protecting children and we're protecting parents' rights. AB 665 wants to just pull off the guardrails yeah. and let little 12-year-olds go to school, say they don't feel safe, agree to a safe house, and they are gone.
Think of the logistical they nightmare don't come that's going to create for that's law enforcement.
That's right.
Yeah. Right? Law enforcement is going to go out of their minds with if this passes into law. Because now we're going to be, you know, you have critical missings, you've got dogs, you've got helicopters, you got this expenditure of massive amounts of resources. Meanwhile, maybe they just haven't reported it yet.
That's right. And also, Mike, tell us a little bit about how this is going to dovetail with SB 107, right? Another Wiener law. This is the trans refuge law that within the state of California, if a child, if a youth is seeking gender affirming care, right, they can come into the state and they're going to be accommodated and helped and whatever. And California is going to ignore custody orders from out of state.
Which is another Wiener law.
Exactly. Right. And so is law enforcement going to help you look for your
Absolutely
child?
Not. They're not going to. Their hands will be literally tied, right? And it also it could we could even dovetail it into SB 357 with the making it legal.
I find this so like just crazy because not too long ago,
Hold on.
If you molested a child and you went to jail for it, you were probably dead.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, SB 145.
Right? Remember?
Oh, well, we can talk about, okay, SB 145, yes.
Another Wiener bill.
What is that?
I will tell you what that is. Okay, because SB 145, a couple of sessions ago, what you will hear people say is that, oh my God, it legalized pedophilia. What it did was it removed automatic sex offender registration for a certain type of offender. And that offender was, listen to this, a person convicted of sex crimes with a child. That person is not going to face automatic sex offender registration as long as what? As long as the perp was no greater than 10 years older than a 14-year-old mm-hmm. victim. Okay? Mm-hmm. So that's really the scenario where you have a 24 with a 14-year-old.
Okay.
If you have a convicted sex offender, that's the important thing is this person's been convicted of a crime mm-hmm. against a child. But SB 145 says, hey, as long as it was within 10 years, there's no automatic registration. It's going to be up to the charging DA, or maybe it's going to be up to the judge. And you know what it's going to be up to? The zip code.
Right.
Of wherever your courtroom happens to
be. These bills, the people that are going to be impacted the most are the people that, going back to my previous comments, they want to shut their eyes and they want to shut their ears because right. it's going to blindside them. One day their child will be at school. They're like, you know what? I don't care about the cultural issues. I don't vote. I don't care. The government should be leaving me alone, right? Well, guess what? Your mm-hmm. child is being so indoctrinated nowadays because you never go to school boards. You're not involved. You're not looking at the bills that are being passed locally. Your child is going to be convinced with it. And guess what? This has already happened and it's happening. It's happened to a Salvadorian immigrant. This is a true story, by the way. We talk about how this was passed in Washington. It's already happening here in California
yes.
without the bills being in place. This happened in 2017 when a Salvadorian immigrant lost her teenage daughter because she was being indoctrinated with LGBTism at school. They told her, you know, like, hey, we noticed that you're down. You seem depressed. And she's like, yeah, you know, I just don't think highly of myself. I feel ugly. And like, well, you know, maybe the reason why you don't feel good in your body and you don't feel pretty is because maybe you're a girl that wants right. to be a boy.
Yeah.
Long story short, because I know we're going to commercial break here, they end up removing this girl from the Salvadorian immigrant's house, this woman, because her mom said, absolutely not. I'm not going to allow you to go on hormones and these medications, and you're not going to be transitioning, and I'm not going to call you a different name than the birth name I gave you. Well, the school psychologist called Child Protective Services and says, this woman is being hostile and aggressive toward her own daughter. Child Protective Services put the kid in a foster home While in the foster home, the mother begged and pleaded. She had to hire a lawyer. Mm-hmm. She went to the courts. The judge was not convinced otherwise. Mm-hmm. While in foster care, the daughter became more depressed because she was no longer around her siblings mm-hmm. and her parents. She ended up becoming suicidal, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. She went to the train tracks.
That's right.
Killed herself.
And I think you're
talking... This is a real story.
This is the Abigail Martinez story, is it not?
Yes.
That is right. And this is heartbreaking. And when you say they went to the court, and if you get in front of a judge who has to do this gender-affirming business, we're going to see so many more of that.
Just like
things.
That dad from Texas.
That's right.
But that mother said, I've never been to a school board meeting. I don't care for politics. Right. I don't mm-hmm. care for government. So, as long as I work and I pay mm-hmm. my taxes, that's all that should matter, but it's not.
Look, if you avoid conflict to keep the peace, you start a war within yourself.
Correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what these mm-hmm. parents, that's what's happening in our society.
And you know what? I don't fault a parent. I don't fault a working parent. However, we need our parents right now to understand what's going on and to step up. That's right. We'll be right back after the break on the LA Hispanic Republican Club. Stay with us. Are back on the LA Hispanic Republican Club show. We've got such an interesting show tonight. Anthony Cabasa, Michael McMahon, Don Monroe. And you know what? We also have a really patient listener, Claudia, in Elysian Park, it looks like. We know you've been hanging on the line with a question. Are you still there, Claudia?
Yes, it's more of a comment, not so much a question.
Thank you.
Hey, Claudia.
Hi, about, you know, what's going on with our politicians in our city and just, mm-hmm. you know, everything kind of falling apart. I just did want to comment on how the lack of leadership in city of Los Angeles, as we all know, but how they're victimizing the criminals, for example, the Cadillac Converter criminals. As you know, a lot of the city council members, including Eunice Hernandez and Natia Rahman, are blaming the car makers and also just saying that, you know, it's making our community of color, you know, blacks, Hispanic, indigenous people, you know, it's criminalizing them when, you know, they're having to do this because a lot of them are students as well. And I'm like, what the heck is going on with these people when we know that we have a lot of people in our communities that are hard workers and, you know, we can't have this happen. And, you know, to have excuse for this is just, it's uncalled for. I know Mike McMahon was in the city last week, I believe it was, and, you know, they did honor the 911 agents. And,
yes,
you know,
at the city council meeting. Is that what you were meaning?
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. And, you know, they're very, you know, happy for them and just, you know, thankful for having them do their service. Yet, you know, they're you know, letting all these criminals out in our cities. And I did also want to mention, I did call a radio station last night, KBC Radio. Another topic was how, you know, our drivers in Los Angeles are, it just seems like they're getting even worse with a lot of, you know, car chases and particularly in the freeways and people just feeling entitled. And I think it goes back to how criminals know that, you know, or people, excuse me, mm-hmm. in general, that, you know, they're not getting penalized and just, they're just getting a slap in the wrist and getting, being let go. So it's like a demise of our city, you know, and it's just terrible to see this. So I do encourage people to do call in any kind of criminal activity that you see. I don't know if you guys also heard that. I believe that, I can't think of the which political legislation.
What was it? Mm-hmm.
I have to look it up. But where it is that they're making it easier for, you know, people that, excuse me, for criminals that are for, you know, not so violent crimes, that they're letting them go, obviously, which is, you know, rape and, you know.
Well, it's at the time of incarceration.
And all these terrible things, yeah, you know, and, yeah, exactly. And they're just, this is what's causing all of these
right.
problems. And, you know, it's just terrible that, you know, people aren't aware that it's these policies are being, you know, passed and why it's, you know, the consequences are going to our city that it's happening.
Claudia, thank you so much for calling. It's
thank
a great
you.
Observation. Absolutely. We need people like you who are paying attention.
Who are making those calls.
That's right.
Well,
thank you.
Claudia is one of the fighters.
She's she's activated.
You know, she ran for city council. She ran for the assembly.
State Senate.
Yeah, for the state senate. I mean, Claudia is up there, you know. But I think you're talking to Proposition 47, which actually a lot of people don't know. That was a proposition passed by the voters. It was the Safe Schools Act, but it was written by our feckless Los Angeles County District Attorney, George Soros. George Gascon.
Might as well say George Soros, but yeah.
He's the same person.
What a Freudian slip there.
Hey, boss, can we do this?
So, yeah, you're absolutely right. And for Ulysses Hernandez to sit up there and placate all of these hardworking 911 dispatchers when she was the one that was calling for the complete defunding of the Los Angeles Police Department. I mean, it's so hypocritical, and quite honestly, it's disgusting to see her just pander, knowing that she does, in fact, hate law enforcement. She hates anything that's not, DSA approved. And, one of the worst things that's happening to our country, when I was growing up, it was, oh, we don't talk about politics. You don't talk about politics, and you don't talk about religion. But the whole reason why our country is where it is because we're not talking about politics. We're not talking about religion. And we saw it with the 2022 election this past November. The uneducated voter is essentially watering the tree of the, they're watering this tree where they will inevitably hang us from,
mm-hmm.
right? We are sealing our own, we're digging our own graves here. Mm-hmm. And unless people wake up and see the evil, the wickedness of the Democrat Party as it stands right now. You know what I learned earlier today? Did you know it's illegal to be a communist in the United States of America? There was an act passed in 1954 by Eisenhower that prohibits anyone from being a communist in the United States.
That's why they're closing the jail.
Yeah, you know?
All these citizens' arrests would be going on right now.
But maybe they're making space for them.
Yeah,
that's true.
No.
That's like saying JFK Jr. is coming back and he's going to be vice president.
You never know. I'm still holding out hope.
It's happening.
No, but Claudia's also right. I was actually just talking to some family today, and it seems like what they were saying is like, it seems like if you are an outstanding citizen, you pay your taxes, you go to work every single day, you are punished the most,
right?
By laws, and then obviously this property tax bill that's coming in effect, right? May 1st. Mm-hmm. Don, I don't know if you heard about that.
Yeah, I said that for the luxury folks.
Yeah, I mean, if you have good credit and you're looking to buy a home,
Elon's sold his mansions here. He's like, I'm out of here. I know what's coming.
Yeah,
they want to tax me even
more.
Well,
no, that's a federal law though. So no matter where he goes, that's going to be a federal thing. Yeah, right. Any state.
And speaking of federal, what about the whole FICO score thing that Biden just came out
with? That's
what he's talking about. That's what I was talking about. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Meaning, but if you have a better score, you're going to pay more. If you have a worse score, you're going to be getting a break.
Right. Yeah,
you're subsidizing. Where's somebody
that?
Else
where's that more going? Is it going to the government? They're going to figure out how to.
No, you're basically subsidizing a new homeowner.
Right.
So if you buy a house or if you refinance a house after May 1st,
So let's take from responsible, productive people.
That's
in society
exactly what we're talking about.
And give to non-productive.
The only ones who are made to pay are the ones who can.
Exactly.
Right? That's what he's
I mean, I was just watching an ABC news report where they were talking about that, where there was like a homeless man always committing violence, in and out of a prison. At this point, the police, like, okay, well, who is it? Is this the same guy? Dude, there's really nothing we can do about this guy. Just just stay away from him. You know, like, that's all. He's like, no, he's out there with a knife. And right. Like, yeah, we know. You know, that's just the way it is in LA. Mm. This guy's going to get processed in.
But, there's always a way around things. I mean, so basically what we're saying is there's going to be highly productive individuals who are going to partner up with organized crime. I don't know. Yeah. They're going to sit there and say, I need somebody with some really bad who's really disenfranchised, and we're going to partner up. We're going to save ourselves 2 points.
but no,
I mean, come on.
You know what it brings me back to? That story up in, I think it was San Francisco. Remember that store owner that like hosed down a homeless woman because she refused to move? So this guy was saying for months and months and months, mm-hmm. we have been fighting the city. We have been going to these meetings. We have called police. They do nothing. Mm-hmm. So eventually people take matters into their own hands. I'm not saying that it was okay what he did. I'm not by any shape or form, hose down this homeless woman, and he gets arrested.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean. Like, so they can fling poop. They can poop on the streets. They can be naked in front of children. They can do drugs next to schools, essentially. But the moment you take action
– to defend yourself, basically.
To defend yourself, to defend your property, whatever it is – you get arrested and you get the fines and the people come after you.
How dare you want better for your neighborhood? How dare you? Shame on you.
And I mean, think about it. That's the society we have now. Right. And you have all these little groups, communist groups, abolitionist groups, and Antifa, and they'll go out there and they'll advocate for the quote-unquote transient.
Right.
Right? Because that's what they call homeless people. You're not allowed to call them homeless people.
Well, the last 5 years of my career, I was down in Skid Row, right? And I remember there was this one specific individual I would have to arrest every 3 days. Now, he was a felon, right? A felon on parole. But because of the laws in California, it is next to impossible to violate a felon. And I would have to arrest him and rearrest him every 3 days because a 3 day hold, a flash incarceration, was all he would ever be put on. And over the course of a year, I think I arrested him 12 to 15 times trying to work with his parole officer. And they're just like, I can't do anything. Sorry. You know, because I don't know if you know this too, they're trying to do away with the parole officers. They're trying to do away with parole system altogether because of, I think it's Ash last year, that it's an alternative to incarceration law now. So as judges, if you're arrested and convicted of a burglary, instead of going to jail, you're going to an alternate.
And you're going to sing Kumbaya.
Yeah.
And you're going to, you know, look deep into yourself and make better choices.
This is where we are with the uneducated voter again.
That's the problem. You know, that is
people
the problem.
People are not paying attention to what is going on around them.
But you know what? But even more than the uneducated, it's the people that know are educated but do nothing.
Right.
Because I was with the city mayor of where I live at, and he was telling me that this last election, we lost the state assemblywoman. She was a Republican. They flipped blue.
Yes. Tell us your district. Are you talking about Suzette Valadares?
Yeah. Suzette Martinez Valadares. Okay. So the reason why she lost was because – and I couldn't believe the numbers.
Well, by 550 votes.
So she won by like – well, she lost by 550 votes. 550.
Yes.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm. Like your vote counts.
Yeah, right. Not just that, but 30,000 Republicans stayed home.
Absolutely.
Meaning they knew what was coming down the road.
Yep.
They knew what was at stake. And they said, we're just not going to vote.
Yep.
You know, they're just like, we just don't care. Either they just don't care.
Right. Or there's the apathy.
The apathy. Like,
or they think
nothing's ever going to change.
Fraud,
Yes. And that's the problem. So thanks to 500 – I mean, think about it. If 551 Republicans of the – and the mayor said we have enough Republicans in this district that if every single one of us voted, everything would be bleeding red.
That's
and
right.
The Democrats would just give up. They would be like, we're abandoning this district. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Right.
There's no hope there because every single Republican is activated.
Yep.
They're showing up to the school boards. They're turning down these pieces of legislation. I mean, we have school board members that say that even during the pandemic, they're like, we're not listening to Newsom. Because they're a Republican, they're like, I'll lose my job. I don't care. We're not listening to this. But people are so apathetic. People just don't care. People, it's like, you know what?
Well, you know, I think the real American –
I think that's Assembly 42.
We had the real American Cholo
Assembly 40.
On.
Mm-hmm.
We had the real American Cholo when he says, look, man, you know, he talks about the Republican Party and the Democratic Party like, look, there's no different than any other clique out there. He said, and I agree because I think that when we start getting into the issues, we've had a lot of we have a lot of Democrats come on the show recently, more so than ever. And they're really just like, dude, these woke, you know, media platforms, mm-hmm. whether it be a podcast, whether it be radio, live radio, TV, whatever, they're not being invited to talk about these issues that Democrats care about. And those are the same issues that even Republicans right now are saying, yo, this has gotten absurd. This is dumb, right? And they're starting to kind of warm up to the idea like, maybe I just got to come out here and shoot the shit with you guys.
You know what? But that's a great point, though, because right, you're seeing a resurgence of the quote-unquote Kennedy Democrat.
That's right.
And, you know, RFK Jr. just announced this
Look at
week,
that. Right.
Very exciting.
Exactly.
Which is a guy that a lot of people can get behind, but unfortunately because of his stance, his anti-vaccine stance, I think a lot of Democrats won't. But it also reminds me of a quote by his father, if I could read it real quick.
Absolutely.
You know, sort of lends to what we're talking about here. And it says, every time that we turn our heads the other way, when we see the law flouted, when we tolerate what we know to be wrong, when we close our eyes and ears to the corrupt because we are too busy or too frightened, when we fail to speak up and speak out, we strike a blow against freedom, decency, and justice.
Mm-hmm.
And that could not have been encapsulated any better.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is
I read a book actually that John F. Kennedy wrote. And he spoke about all the times in American history we almost lost our republic. And it's amazing how – and we think this is just now today. It's actually happened many times in the history. And I'm not – you know, it'd be a whole other segment, mm-hmm. a whole other 2 hours to go into it. But, you know, there are a lot of politicians who have ruined their political careers by standing up against tyranny and standing up against the abuses of power.
Right. What a way to go out, though.
That's the you way to go I mean? Out.
That, why would you want to go out any way else?
That's right. This is give me liberty or give me death.
No, the epitome of Patrick Henry.
Quote, I mean, I have another beautiful quote here, Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You are commanded.
Yep.
You are commanded to go out there and fight evil. So when people sit there and tell me, well, I just don't care enough or nothing's ever going to change. Well, not with that attitude, it's not.
No.
You know, like, is the answer really to just sit back and do nothing? How has that worked out for us?
I always said I'm so disappointed in the lazy Christian, mm-hmm. right? Even when I was running for office, you know, it is not in God's hands. It is in your hands.
That's right. Hey,
right?
I gotta say that God works through you. I have a quote
not
from the Jefita. Jefita back at home.
There. Yeah,
and we talked about my mom and her whole thing was this. You know. We would go around and people would always say, you know, if God wants it, it's going to happen.
Right.
But my mom sat there one day because I was like done. I was giving up on some project. I was like, yeah, I guess God doesn't want. She says, no, God never said don't help yourself. God never said don't work hard.
Right.
Yeah. God never said. So in other words, it changed my perspective about, you know, how I was using religion in my own life.
Sure. Yeah.
And so this is what I think like a lot of our listeners need to pay attention. It's like, look. You're going to have to help yourselves, and you're going to find people like-minded, like-spirited, like values, like we did here with the show. I remember when we first started the show, I mean, people thought we were crazy. They thought we were extreme.
Now.
But now they're just like, you know what? Mm-hmm. All that makes sense. All this makes sense. This is why we're going down to City Hall. This is why we're going down to Hollywood to get together.
That's right.
Firefighters for Freedom was a big one as well.
Don't forget about Roll Call for Freedom.
Exactly. Roll Call for Freedom. That's my point.
I have to segue right here. Talk about going to City Hall. Talk about failing to speak up and speak out. The thing that people need to know right now, and you know where I'm going with this, is that in City Council in Los Angeles, we still have a vaccination mandate, you guys. It's still out there. It's still affecting people like Mike McMahon, who was terminated, like every prospective employee for LA Fire, LA Police, or any type of LAUSD job or city worker. That mandate is still out there. What just happened on April 18th? Okay, they revoked the emergency use authorization for the original Pfizer and Moderna shots.
Yep.
Those are done. Those are not out there. What's going to be the new shot now? That stupid bivalent, the Wuhan Omicron bivalent that was never tested on humans. That's now what is going to be the COVID shot that people are going to be forced to get. And we still have... we've got no emergency, no pandemic, and we don't have a product that stops infection or transmission, and that's what our Los Angeles City Council is keeping in place. And people need to remember this is still going on.
Yeah.
This is still affecting
right.
potential you know, recruits for fire and police, and it's still affecting our teachers. And it's trickling upwards up the hill to Granada Hills Charter because they're relying on it to demand that their employees be vaccinated still. We have got to rise up. And so Mike has a foundation, Roll Call for Freedom, right? Roll Call for Freedom. Tell us about it. Tell us how people could find you, because we are still needing to fight this mandate in our own city.
Yeah, Roll Call for Freedom was started back in 2021. It was myself and two other police officers and one of their wives. And we wanted to fight for the medical sovereignty, for the personal sovereignty of every Los Angeles City employee going further against this, what we consider to be an unconstitutional mandate. And here we are 3 years later from, you know, March of 2020, and we're still dealing with this. And I have had conversations upon conversations with city council members and their staff, and I keep being told that there's no appetite to lift this mandate. And it harkens back to, you know, those who gain power will seldom ever give it up. And I don't think that this is going to go away unless we truly speak up and demand an end to this mandate, because it's a moot point at this point. you know, the whole idea mm-hmm. of this mandate was predicated on the stopping of the transmission of COVID.
Yeah, supposedly public safety.
Right. But the CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, came out. She came out and admitted for the first time in Congress on Wednesday that those who have taken the COVID vaccine are still capable of spreading the virus to others.
And that's been conceded worldwide at this point.
Uh-huh. Worldwide.
Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it takes them finally admitting it years later. And of course, they wait years.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because they need everyone to follow, you know, follow the guidelines. Hey, you need to trust the experts, et cetera.
Sure.
We've been listening to, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, alternative experts, I guess, that have come out and said, I mean, I've had videos taken out as an independent
self-proclaimed
journalist.
Self-proclaimed experts, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
well, you only have the most recognized, you know, cardiologist in the history of mankind.
Dr. McCullough, literally
the guy that invented the mRNA vaccine,
Robert
saying,
Malone,
stop.
That's right,
right.
Saying,
what are we doing? The inventor of it said, no, this is something's wrong here. Like,
now,
we
now there's
can't
something
be doing
kind
it.
Of interesting that's happening with this whole vaccine thing. And not to get deep in conspiracy stuff, I don't really know the facts of the thing, but I do know that there. I think it's the state of Missouri that is pushing very hard to have a disclosure on genetically modified foods and any foods that have been.
That's AB 1169 that was introduced by Holly Jones.
It's very important.
Yeah.
It's a very important. But you know what? Hold on. But let's just make a little. Here's a point that they made recently. It's four Republicans there in that state that are not jumping on board with they are actually going along with the status quo to have genetically modified foods, you know, served to us
in Missouri.
And even vaccines are being genetically input into
food.
It's
foods, like you
right?
said earlier, brother.
It's
follow
big
the
ag,
money.
It's big ag. And
there
it's,
you go.
And it's big farm.
There you
right?
go.
These guys, they're so bought and paid for. There is there's not an honest politician in the entire country, right, at this
Hurts.
Point. And you know,
AOC is doing a good job.
She is.
No, but, you know what? There's a handful. I will say, Kevin Kiley. I have to say, there are some honest politicians.
Are some.
We know that
are. They are. They're working hard, but
the number that are in power, especially in this state,
the deep state.
That's right.
Yeah. But no. I mean, we should have something like this in California. I mean, who knows how far it would go? But you know, amazing.
No, but if they pass it in Missouri, apparently it affects food worldwide. In other
it
words,
will.
It's not just, and so this is why it's so important. This is why there's been such strong Republicans that are trying not to let this kind of get, like, the cat out of the bag, so to speak. They just say, you know what? But the more we talk about it, the more people look it up and put pressure and talk to their Congress people, there will be more pressure to, hey, stick to transparency, because that's what we don't have. We don't have transparency.
No.
And they want to say, oh, trust your government. They're doing everything best for you, your health. You know, just be good sheep and just bah. You know?
Well, Thomas Renz is the attorney who's really putting that information out. I encourage all of our listeners to check out Thomas Renz, R-E-N-Z. I think it's renzlaw.com.
Mm-hmm.
And Holly Jones was actually – she worked for him. And she's a phenomenal woman, really true American, and Thomas is as well. I mean, he's literally – I think he filed the first lawsuit against Javier Becerra on behalf of America's frontline doctors in July of 2020. So that's a man who's testified in front of Ron Johnson's hearings.
Mm-hmm.
He knows exactly what he's talking about. And if he's raising you know, the red flag on something like this, we need to pay attention to
it. That's right.
Boom. That's right.
Speaking of letting people know, I want to let everybody know, how can they get to Roll Call for Freedom, Mike?
You can find us on rollcall4freedom.com. On Instagram, we're at the same, rollcallforfreedom.com, and then rollcallforfreedom 2.0, because even since January of 2022, we've been incredibly shadow banned for the information that we're putting out.
Too much truth.
Yeah, and we were over target.
And Anthony, how can we find you? How can listeners follow you?
Yeah, if you just Google Inform with Anthony, I think all my socials should show up. On Instagram, that's my largest platform. That is where I'm the most active. I do 60-second or less videos for everybody to just kind of get your informational news, your daily news. So again, that's Informed with Anthony, and that's on YouTube. That is on True Social. That's like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, the whole works. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you guys for both for being here tonight. We had some really good discussion.
Of course. Fire show
Don,
tonight.
Of course. Yes. Really yes.
And Anthony's my favorite guy to listen to.
You know what? Shoot. Thanks, I was going to say to our, we had a caller hanging on there from Whittier for the longest time. I'm sorry, Dave, we didn't get to you tonight. Please listen again and call back.
Dave.
We'll try to catch you the next time. Want to say thank you to our Ryan, our engineer, Sal, over there in the booth. We want to say thank you to all the crew. Thanks to David and Jeffy, of course, wherever you are out there.
Yeah.
Thanks to everybody for listening tonight. Good to have you with us here on the LA Hispanic Republican Club show. I'm Jennifer Kennedy, signing off, and we'll see you next week with a lot more information, because there's always a lot to talk
always
about here on the show.
That's right.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Fight against the dying of the light.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.